It's good to be together on this Labor Day weekend. We are we've come to the end of our summer series. As you know, if you've been around here this summer, around Cedar Creek, you know we've been doing a series on fruit salad. And we've been talking about various character qualities that God desires for us to have in our life, grow in our life, develop, encouraging each other, and all that. It's been 16, this is the 16th week, I believe. Summer's long this year, early Memorial Day, late Labor Day, so we had a lot of time this summer to go through this. And today, the final character quality is perseverance. And we've been talking about these qualities and three things about them. One is that these qualities should be the result of a life lived with and for God. And so it's things that will be present and developed in our life as we live with God and live for Him and pursue His purposes for us. And then they are only possible by God, the power of God's Spirit in our life. So that's the second thing. And then finally, they're at least partially the result of our sincere effort. So God has His part, His Spirit working in us, and we have our part making sincere effort. And so today we're talking about perseverance. And I think perseverance is kind of the I kind of looked at this list. You know, the list of things that we've been talking about this summer include love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and then there's perseverance. You know, it's kind of like the tough brother of this whole thing when you think about perseverance. You know, years ago, people used to wear peace symbols around their neck, right? Peace. Nobody wears a perseverance symbol around their neck. You know, or at Christmas time, you'll see decorations. You know, there's peace, there's joy, there's love. The mantle doesn't say perseverance. You know, so we're going to talk about perseverance, and my opinion is that this one quality or characteristic leans a little heavier on that third point or that third aspect of these qualities, and that is our sincere effort. Because perseverance is as much an action as it is a quality, I guess. And so, just to have a few thoughts I want to share with you. Hopefully it'll be encouraging. And when I think of perseverance, when I first thought about this topic, I thought of this picture. And Nate, you want to bring up this? And maybe some of you have seen this. I like this. It's never give up. And that's what perseverance means, right? Perseverance means simply not giving up, not quitting. And this picture is the very picture of perseverance. With his last bit of strength, that frog is not going to get swallowed. You know? He's in a tough spot. He's experiencing some trials and difficulties, but he is not going to let go of that stork's neck. So anyway, we're going to talk about perseverance a little bit. And you know, perseverance is just that ability or that quality of persisting in a situation or persisting in a task or persisting in accomplishing something regardless or in spite of difficulty or obstacles or discouragement or length of time it takes or what have you. That's what perseverance is. And, you know, perseverance impresses us. When we see examples of people that have persevered through great trials to accomplish a task, or someone who's persevered through a tremendous disability to accomplish something that is almost unbelievable, that impresses us. I like to read books of adventures of people who have endured great trials to get to the North Pole or the South Pole or to Mount Everest or one of those things. I enjoy those books. That impresses me because of the perseverance. And I think it just does impress us when we see that. And It's in the word perseverance in the New Testament is the same word is sometimes translated as endurance. In some older version, it's patience, as persistence, as steadfastness. So it's a word that's it frequently appears, but perseverance or endurance is the word we're talking about. In 2 Peter, just I'll read this verse to you. It's one of those lists again, and in 2 Peter 1, it starts out in verse 5 and says, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities," so all of these things, and perseverance is embedded right in the middle there, "if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they'll keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of Jesus Christ." And so here's a list of these qualities. Perseverance, like, again, smack dab in the middle. And he's saying that if you have these things, you won't be ineffective or unproductive. And we all want to be effective and productive, right? So God has been tells us throughout the New Testament, persevere. Keep going. It's a recurrent theme. I'm going to start out here. We're going to look at about three passages. One in James. It's a familiar passage. I think many of you will recognize it. And it starts off with one of the more difficult statements. But it says, James 1, 2. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." And we're going to talk a little bit more about that idea later. "Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything." Okay. So, first point about perseverance. Without perseverance, we'll never be all that God wants us to be. It says right here in James, it says, "Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete." So from that I take, without it, without perseverance, if we do not persevere, we will never be all that God desires us to be. Now God loves us just the way we are. God loves us completely. But that doesn't mean he wants us to continue to be just like we are. He has intentions for us all. He wants us to grow. He wants us to develop. He wants us to mature. Just like kids. Just like our kids. Like Rob was saying, 35 kids in the nursery. There's a lot of toddlers here at Cedar Creek. Lots of toddlers. And just, you know, after the service, just look around and you'll see them toddling. And isn't that a word? That's when they walk like this. Okay? And you know, it's cute. They're small. They're cute when they're toddling around and they're, you know, they fall down and things like that. And as a parent, you love them dearly. Do you want them to toddle for the rest of their life? No. No, you want them to learn to walk and to run. You see them fall down, they have to get up again, and they fall down a lot. That's why they're so short. Because can you imagine just falling? If I fell straight back, landed on my hinder, that would really hurt. I mean, it wouldn't do my back much good. But they can do that over and over and over again. But that's all right. But anyway, the kids, it takes perseverance to grow and to develop and to learn. And if we, you saw that your toddler was having to get up again. Oh, gosh, that's hard. I'll just carry you all the time. Would that be good for your child? I'll carry you. I'll take you to the other side of the room. No, they need to persevere. They need to grow. You want them to grow. Toddling about is cute when they're little, but it would be tragic and sad if they were 16 and still toddling. We want them to grow and to become able. Just like that, God wants us to grow. He wants us to continue to develop. In this list of things that we talked about, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all those things God wants us to grow. And so unless we learn to persevere, unless we do persevere, we'll never be all that God desires for us. We might like to spare our kids that difficulty, but it's through that difficulty they grow. And along those lines, I think the greatest deterrent, can I have the next slide? And the greatest deterrent to the greatest thing that would interrupt a life of following Christ, of living for God, is giving up. In Luke, there's the parable of the sower in the book of Luke. And it's interesting, you know, if you're familiar with that parable, he describes a farmer who's throwing seed along the field, and some falls in different places, and each of those seeds has a different outcome. And the seed that does well, as Jesus was then explaining this parable to his disciples, verse 15 says, "But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop." By persevering. And if you look back in the other kinds of seeds, for one reason or another, they quit. They quit following. They quit allowing that gospel seed to grow in them. So the greatest deterrent to following Christ is giving up, is quitting. And you know, in Galatians 9, it says, 6:9, it says, "Let us not grow weary. We'll reap harvest if we don't give up." The writer, God knows that we're prone to quit. He knows that we're prone to give up. We think that the life of faith, sometimes we think the life of faith should come easy. If this life of faith is true, then it should come easy. I should always have good feelings. I should always feel good. I should never have doubts. Doubts won't ever come because this is going to be smooth sailing. I'll never get tired or worn out. I'll always have, you know, there's verses, you know, "He who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength." Yes, renew their strength, but you will get tired. You need to go back and renew your strength. "People won't ever disappoint me." People won't ever disappoint me. People will always be there for me. "Temptations will cease to tempt me. I won't be tempted anymore. This life of faith is going to be smooth. It's going to be easy going. I'll always be confident in who I am and what God thinks of me." That's how we think it ought to be. But it's not the case. We're encouraged to persevere. By perseverance, produce a good crop. And those that fall away, those that decide, those that no longer follow Christ, we all know people probably that have begun that journey and then they quit. They fall away. It's not generally because they decide it's not true, that they found a better way. It's that someone convinced them that Jesus wasn't who he said he was. It's that they get tired, discouraged, tempted, and they quit. They give up. God desires that we develop a certain toughness, a certain determination, a certain ability to put aside trouble or discomfort. That sounds kind of matter of fact, maybe, but that's what perseverance is. It means you keep going, you keep trusting, you keep serving, you keep going. You know, in Hebrews 12, it tells us to run the race set before us with endurance. Run with endurance the race set before you. And I was thinking about this, and, you know, it's a kind of a silly question, but what's the one reason a runner, a racer, won't finish the race? Apart from getting struck by lightning or something, it's because they quit. It's because they stopped running. They stepped off the track. And so we don't want to be quitters. The world is full of quitters. People quit jobs because they don't like their coworkers or their circumstances. People quit relationships. People quit all kinds of things. Last winter, we talked about New Year's resolutions. People give up New Year's resolutions. There's a lot of quitters. But you know, what do we learn from quitting something? Something that we've intended to do, something, a goal we tend to have determined to accomplish. And if at some point we stop pursuing that, what do we learn from that? I think we learn what it's like to quit. You don't learn how to do that better. You don't learn how to persist. You don't learn how to carry on. You learn how to quit. So, simply put, let's not quit. We'll talk a little more details here. In James, there's another... we'll go back to James here. Another idea here they wanted to share. It says... consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So perseverance comes through testing, comes through difficulty. And can you go to the next slide? Perseverance is developed through difficulty. There's no shortcut. We want shortcuts. We desire there to be, can't there be an easier way to maturity? You know, if children were born able to walk, they wouldn't have to go through all the toddling. If they were born able to speak, they wouldn't have to learn to speak. We want an easier way. There's ads in magazines, and you know, it shows this guy that's just got muscles on his muscles, and it says, "Be like this in 14 minutes a day." And I look at that and I go, "Wow, 14 minutes a day, really? That's an intense 14 minutes. It's got to be." In fact, I was looking for that ad, and I found another statement from Men's Health or something like that. It says, "Get ripped in 7 days." You know what ripped means. If you look up ripped, you won't find my picture in the missionary. That's not how I spent my week. But it says, "Get ripped in 7 days, 14 minutes a day." Wow. We want shortcuts. But there are not shortcuts. We want to avoid difficulty. We would prefer to have things easy. I think that's true. I mean, it's true. I remember when I was in college, I ran a lot, and I had a roommate who was on kind of the other end of that spectrum, and it was a windy day, and I was getting dressed. I was going to head out for a run. He goes, "Man, it's really windy out." I said, "Yeah, I know." He goes, "You want me to drive you up the road and you can run home with the wind?" I mean, he was serious. He would, and what's that?
That's a good friend.
Yeah. I probably didn't give my friend Jerry the most compassionate response. I think I probably told him that I thought he was living life downwind. You know, going with the flow. But anyway, that was his perspective. "Hey, it's tough outside. Why don't I take you up and it'd be easier?" You know, we want easy. And you know, oftentimes as Christ followers, we think if we encounter difficulties that we're doing something wrong, that God's like forgotten us, left us. But these verses that we're reading, they would say otherwise. They're saying that rejoice when you're in difficulties, because that's what he's going to use to grow you. That's what he's going to use to grow you. If you don't learn to persevere, you will not be mature. That's what it says. Let perseverance do its work so that you can be mature. And that's what we want to be. That's what we want to be. Perseverance takes practice. Perseverance is sometimes big choices to keep going in a direction. Sometimes it's just the small choices. It's the little things. But it takes practice. Those of you that are musical, maybe play the piano, play the guitar. It takes practice. It's kind of working those nerve pathways so that you know how to play those chords. I can't even name a chord. That's what they do with their fingers, though. It takes practice over and over again. Perseverance. And as we go through life, enduring different obstacles, difficulties, etc., it helps us develop, in one sense, emotional, spiritual, physical muscles to endure, to go through things, and to maintain our faith and to keep trusting in the midst of difficulties. Very few of us are good at something right off the bat. You know, there are prodigies that can play the piano at the age of 3 and 4, but if they don't persevere in practice, they don't become great. And so even that. Perseverance isn't one of those things that's... You can't fake perseverance. It's not theoretical. You know, you could talk about faithfulness, patience, goodness. You know, those are a little hard to see. The perseverance is kind of obvious, sort of. You know, somebody, you know, if you see somebody who's given up on a particular pursuit, you say, well, what happened? I'm not doing that anymore. But I have a persevering attitude about it. Not really. Perseverance is, the proof is in the pudding. If you keep going, keep believing, keep loving. And you know, you don't have to be smart to persevere. Or you don't have to be talented in a particular way. I mentioned that I used to run a lot and race, and I came to that because a lot of sports require you to do different things with your hands and coordination, like basketball. I never knew what to do with the ball when they threw it to me. You know, get rid of it was my motivation, and once it hit my hands, it was get rid of it. And so I gravitated towards things that you just do one thing over and over again. Like put one foot out there and then the next foot out there and do it for a long time and as fast as you can. See, that's simple. Doesn't take a lot of talent. And perseverance doesn't take talent. It doesn't take charisma. It just takes perseverance to keep going, to not quit. Another passage I want to look at in Romans 5. It mentions perseverance in another context. And Romans 5, starting at the beginning of the chapter, it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. So we have a place with Christ. In grace. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And I looked at this verse in the Amplified Bible. It's a translation that kind of expands on words and expands, and I like the way it explains this, or kind of brings out certain points of this. But the idea here is that perseverance without hope is just drudgery. Let's look at this. Let me read this for you in the Amplified Bible. I think that's what's up here. Catching up where I have it on the page here. I'll just start in verse 2. It says, through him also we have our access, our entrance or introduction by faith into this grace, the state of God's favor, in which we firmly and safely stand. And let us rejoice and exult in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. So there on one point, he says, let us rejoice in the fact that we have the hope of experiencing, enjoying the glory of God, kind of out there. That's what we're shooting for. Moreover, or let us also be full of joy now Let us exalt and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patience and unswerving endurance. So I see here two aspects of perseverance and hope in this relationship. And you know, people persevere for a lot of reasons. People persevere for fame. People persevere for riches. I mean, professional athletes, they don't get there by happenstance. They work at that. So there's lots of and in fact, I thought about it, I think in many ways we often persevere for no good reason at all, just because that's what, well, you just keep going and not have any real hope of what you're shooting for. You can persevere going the wrong way. We can persevere in the wrong direction. How many of you have ever been lost driving your car? You didn't stop and ask for directions, and you drove a long way the wrong direction. I've done that. I was persevering. I was just going the wrong direction. So it took me double time to get back. So we can persevere for lots of reasons. But these verses here talk about hope and about having a couple of kinds of hope. One is hope for eternity. And as I was reading through a variety of verses in the New Testament about perseverance, oftentimes it talks about eternal perspective, eternal hope. Not this, because I want to persevere a little while so that when you promise me things are going to get better pretty soon. But that's not the message oftentimes Paul and the other writers in the New Testament are giving. He's writing to people who are undergoing persecution. He doesn't say, hang in there, it's almost over. That's not the message. He says, hang in there, someday you're going to go to heaven. I mean, that's the message. And it's that eternal hope. And so I think we have one of the hopeful outcomes we can pursue is that eternity with God. And when everything will be right and everything will make sense and perseverance will pay off. And the other thing that he mentions here is let us also exalt and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patience and unswerving endurance. So then there is the short-term outcome as well, that we can persevere because we know that God is producing something in us for this life, now, that he's producing this list of qualities. He's producing greater goodness, greater faithfulness in me, greater patience. And if we desire those things, that helps us persevere, then we can persevere. It's having some goal worth persevering for. And I think that's what we want to catch here, is that two things. One is the goal of being all that God wants us to be in this life, and the goal of spending eternity with him. That's the other goal. And that can help us persevere. I was thinking of an example of a goal that someone might have that allows them to persevere through trouble and difficulty. And I am a nurse, and I used to work in an area with oncology patients, and I gave chemotherapy. And some of you have been through that chemotherapy or radiation for cancer. And the goal, obviously, is a cure. And that goal causes people, enables people, motivates people to go through significant distress, pain, discomfort, all the things that go with those treatments. But they've got a goal in mind, and so they continue to pursue it with that hope. Without hope, perseverance is just drudgery. This life, could you go just click that next slide? Without the hope that God can give, this life can be pretty hopeless, pretty distressing. People can pursue these things and find that at the end of it all, there's not what they expected. And sometimes that can happen to us as well. We can think that this life will satisfy us. We as Christ followers can forget that our hope is in eternity. Our hope is in God. We can start to, I can do that. I can start to think that this life is going to satisfy me. This is going to make everything right. This is going to be good. But that works fine when everything's going right. But when it's not, when I'm disappointed by some circumstance or the other, someone disappoints me, things aren't turning out right, I'm not feeling well, I think, huh, what happened? And I can lose hope. And it makes it difficult to persevere. God made us for more. He made us for eternity. And then it says here in Romans 5, it says, we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Or in another version it says, hope does not disappoint. This hope does not disappoint. It's not like this world. It says the God gives us access to his grace, and God won't disappoint us. It doesn't lead to disappointment. If we try to squeeze the satisfaction from this life, if we try to squeeze what we need and want and desire deep inside us from this life alone, we will be disappointed. We will be disappointed. God will not disappoint us. You may have experienced something you persevered, you pursued a particular project or some outcome, and it didn't pan out. It didn't pan out. That's disappointment. And we've all experienced disappointments. God will not disappoint us. And I can only say that by faith. I don't know. I'm not there yet. But it says here that God doesn't disappoint us. Because it's not dependent on me. God's made promises. He's made a way for us. And he said he won't disappoint us. He won't disappoint us. You know, I thought about this, if this life is all there is, then this life is all there is. This is what you get. And I don't believe that for a minute. God has made us for more. And we have more to look forward to than what this life offers. So we have, in Romans it says we have the opportunity to look forward to God's glory and sharing in that. I thought I'd share what are the enemies of perseverance? And I started to list things like discouragement, fatigue. It started going down that list. The things that would keep us from persevering. But then as I thought about that, I thought, well, wait a minute. Those are the very building blocks of perseverance. Without those things, there is no perseverance. And so really, I don't want to oversimplify this, but perseverance is not giving up. And the enemy of perseverance is quitting. And I'm not sure how to put it more simply, but the friends of perseverance, the things that promote perseverance, one is hope. Again, hope, looking forward to the hope that God lays out for us in this life, for what he has in store for us that we don't know yet. He, like our little kids, he loves us where we are, but he wants us to grow up. So I'm looking forward to growing up still with God. Another friend of perseverance is friends, companions, others that are on the journey with us. It says in Hebrews 3:13, it says, encourage each other as long as it's called today. Encourage each other as long as it's today. Today, today, today. Just keep encouraging each other. Examples, role models, others that are alongside or going ahead of us, take courage from them. Having clear goals, having a clear idea of where you're going, whether it be in a task or a pursuit, have a clear goal. That now I notice I didn't say a clear path or an easy path, because that's not a given. We don't know what the path might bring, but having a clear goal is a friend. So what kinds of things do we need to persevere in? You know, practically speaking, we persevere in tasks. We persevere in jobs. We persevere in relationships. We persevere in convictions, beliefs, things we hold to be true. We persevere in those things. We persevere in all those things that we've been talking about all summer. Faithfulness. So there's always opportunity to persevere. And as I mentioned before, earlier, it's sometimes big decisions. It's sometimes that, you know, you're at a crossroads. A number of years ago, I had taken a job in management, and it was a new thing to me. I thought it was something maybe I could do. And after a few months, I thought, oh, man, I do not want to do this anymore. Got tired of people. Those of you that have managed people know what I'm talking about. It's like, you know, I got tired. I thought, I'm going to quit. Let somebody else do this. I don't need this. And I remember I stopped on my way home, and I was praying, and I was telling God, I'm ready to throw in the towel. You know, I can get a different job. I don't need this. And I remember he spoke to me, well, if not you, who's going to do this better? Well, at that point, I probably thought anybody could do it better than I'm doing. But I persevered with God's help. I told him I'm ready. And that was kind of a crossroads. We have those crossroads where we're ready to throw in the towel, and we choose not to. We keep going. But more often, I think it's just the next step. And in fact, the one thing about perseverance that I'll leave you with is just to do the next right thing. That's something that we often say in our house, you know, you're not sure what to do, just do the next right thing. If it's in a relationship, for instance, and someone, you're at odds with someone, maybe make that phone call. Maybe make that apology if you need to. Whatever it is, do the next right thing. You don't have to know what's going to happen 4 years down the road. It's what do I need to do right now? If it's in obedience, take the next step that you believe God is showing you to do. If it's in service, to persevere in service, just volunteer for 1.5 hours in the nursery. That was a cheap plug. Just do the next right thing. Don't give up. Keep going. It's small steps of faith. Small steps of faith. It's, you know, we're prone to, you know, it's perseverance that makes all these other things flourish. It's, you know, if you're loving only when someone deserves it, that's not persevering. If you're obedient only when it's easy, if you serve when it's convenient, or if you only believe when you have no doubts, that's not perseverance. Perseverance is when you serve when you're tired. Perseverance is when you make the first step to reconcile with a friend. Perseverance is when you go out of your way. So, perseverance. Don't quit. Don't give up. God's working on you. God's working on me. He has intentions for us in this life to grow us up, to make us mature and complete. And He's preparing a place for us. He's preparing a place for us in eternity where everything will make sense and it'll satisfy us completely. And that's what we can hope for. That's what we can base our confidence on. And that's what can keep us persevering day to day. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you are faithful and you will not disappoint us. You will not leave us. You will not put us to shame. You will provide all we need. Thank you that you enable us to persevere. You give us the power. You give us the strength. Help us lean on you. This takes choices, but takes power from you. Thank you, God, for the examples in this room of perseverance that we can look to and be encouraged by. Amen.